How great is our God? He is exalted. He is exalted. Yes, he is. He is exalted. Jesus Christ is right now sitting at the right hand of the Father God, it says in the scripture. But one of these days he will be sitting on his own throne and he will be reigning. And how great is our God, the Lord Jesus. He will be taking that place that he has, that God has given to him because he died on the cross for us. Praise the Lord. So we're studying in the book of Revelation. So turn in your Bible with me to the book of Revelation. If you've never studied this book before, it can be hard to understand. But we try to make it as simple as we can by the help of the Lord so that everyone can understand what we're saying. And we're going to the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation. Now, at this point in the book, I want to repeat again that John, the disciple of the Lord Jesus, lived longer than any of the other disciples. He died a natural death, but all the others of the disciples were martyred in some way or another. And so John was exiled on this island of Patmos, which is right off the coast of what we know as Turkey right now, to the west side of Turkey, out there in the water. And he was exiled out there, and so as he was meditating and thinking on the Lord, God gave him this revelation, the book of Revelation. He also wrote St. John and 1st and 2nd, 3rd John. So he was quite a writer. And he wrote this book as the Lord God revealed to him and had him taken away in his spirit to different places on the earth and toward the heavens to understand what is going to happen to this world. We are, right now, we believe that we are living in the last days, that we're going to be looking very soon. Jesus Christ is going to come again. We live in the age of the church, is what this age is called. This is the age where Jesus preached. He preached to the world, as we heard this morning from our brother, and then he died on the cross for us, and then he rose again, and he was taken into heaven. And now he sits at the right hand of God, as I said a while ago, waiting until God says, go and get your people from the earth. And in chapter 4, we had a group of people who were yielded to God, overcomers, and watching for Jesus' return, and they had been taken to heaven. Now, this is yet future. It hasn't happened yet, okay? But we look back on that, and we can see how God is working in the world today. I think all of you would agree to me that the United States even is not the country that we used to know. Not when I was a child. I mean, people went to church. Everybody was, you know, more interested in the things of God and revivals and things like that. And now it's just been horrible the way that people are treated. Just like Linda was telling about her son and some youth with him. And they went into a restaurant, I think is what she was saying. And this group just come in and started berating them and just trying to discourage them and just put them down because they had something that said something about God on their clothing. This is the United States in the world today. There's so many unbelievers in Christ that don't care anything about salvation or the Bible or anything. It's because we're living toward the end of time here. So in the last part of our lesson that we had in chapter 11, beginning with 1, we are in the Bible, in the study, it's the tribulation time, which will be 7 years of tribulation that will come upon the world. Jesus taught it. It's taught in the Old Testament. And of course, Apostle Paul taught it. There was going to be a time when things were going to be really terrible here in this world. But when Jesus Christ comes again that first time and takes his people that are watching and waiting for him, and then that 7 years will begin, and we find that there are going to, in that first part of chapter 11, we had it about 2 weeks ago, that lesson, that there are going to be two individuals that God supports and takes really gives them strength and power to do this. They are going to be in Israel, and they are going to witness for Christ. You can read it yourself, beginning in chapter 11, read on down to about verse 12. These people, these two men, witnessed of the Lord Jesus Christ and the things that were wrong in the world, and they were put to death for Christ. And their bodies laid in the streets there of Jerusalem for 3 days. Now, this hasn't happened yet. It's going to happen earlier in time here sometime, right away, not too far off. And so that's what we had in the first part of the chapter. And they rose from the dead after 3.5 days and went, their spirits and they were changed. They went into the heavens. So you have a challenge before you. Do you believe the word of God, or do you say, oh, this, that's just fake, or that's, you know, not true? Well, I believe the word of God, and I've seen it in my lifetime. I was raised in church because my father was a minister, and we were always there. And I've seen it in my lifetime how things have changed through the latter part of World War II and all the other things that we have gone through in this world. Things are changing. So we're going to start now with verse 13, and we're going to think about this, that we're talking about the tribulation time, the 7 years that are going to come. They haven't come yet. God is still dealing with us in grace and mercy, dealing with our lives, dealing with the people that don't know Jesus. He wants them all to come and know him. But we're looking now into that 7 years, and we're seeing what's happening. And in verse 13, it says, and the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. Now, no doubt this will take primarily in Israel, because that's where the two witnesses were, witnessing about the Lord all the time, every day. And they were persecuted, and they were left and for dead. They killed them. God allowed that to happen to show the horribleness of mankind during that time, their attitudes toward Christ and toward hearing the word of God. And so this great earthquake will take place, and a tenth part of the city, speaking of Jerusalem, is going to fall. And in the earthquake were slain men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted. The remnant, we know what a remnant of a piece of cloth is. You could go into a store that has fabric, and you can buy a remnant. It's just a little piece that's left over, usually, maybe a yard or two, and you can get that at a cheaper price. Well, in this verse where it talks about the remnant, it's talking about a group of Israelitish people who believe in Christ, and they have done that since that 7 years of tribulation have started. And so they will be afraid. There will be a startling feeling when Jerusalem is struck and it starts falling, the city starts falling down, and people will be slain, 7,000 people in that one big earthquake that God brings. And the people are going to be those that believe in the Lord, and they'll be persecuted at that time. Other scriptures in Revelation tell us that the man called the Antichrist, you could read that in your Bible, in the book of Revelation, tells us that he will go about killing Christians, beheading them. That will become the method of that day. But these men that we're talking, and women, talking about the remnant, it will sort of be frightening to them to see what's going on. But what will they do? They will give glory to the God of heaven. And they'll just worship the Lord. Yes, Lord, you have told us in your word that this is going to happen. Now, we won't be here. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ right now as your Savior, you won't be here. You will already be taken to heaven. That's found in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 18 on down. Talks about Jesus coming again and how he'll take up his people. We won't be here, but the people that will be born again during the tribulation time on through, They will begin to give glory to the God of heaven because they see the power of God being manifested, and it's not going to be long until things are going to be totally changed. Jesus Christ is going to come back at the end of this tribulation, and he is going to set up his kingdom on the earth, and we that know the Lord Jesus now will already be in heaven, as I said. But we will be with him leading and worshiping and the people of the earth. So verse 14, it says, the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. Now that sounds kind of an odd thing to say, the third woe. That's what the scripture here, and it would take an hour or two for me to go back and explain all of that about where the woes. In all of this time during this tribulation, God has it all set out where there's going to be certain judgments that come about. And this word woe, I think all of us understand what woe means. I mean, we all go through trials and tests and hard times, and we just feel, oh, woe is me. What am I going to do? You know, well, that's what woe means, is a terrible time that will come. And so here we have in verse 14, the second woe. In other words, God had set up a certain thing that was going to happen, and we've already studied that. Now the third woe is going to come quickly. There's going to be a greater problem than has been there before. And so this third woe, we'll see what happens right here at this point. Now John, the beloved, he's called, the disciple, he was on this island of Patmos, and he didn't have much liberty anywhere. He was a prisoner, and God would reveal to him in visions and no doubt dreams too, and speaking to him in his spirit. And that's what is taking place right now. From verse 15 on down to 19, we're looking further ahead in this in this 7 years it's going to happen. In the very latter part of the 7 years, there's going to be a great battle. The Antichrist, I hope all of you heard about the Antichrist. The Antichrist is the opposite of Christ. He's going to be empowered by the devil, and he's going to be the leader of the world during that tribulation time, starting about midways, a little before midways, until the end. And when he feels the pressure from godly people, he's going to behead them. He's going to try to kill them. If he can, he won't be able to kill all of them. Thank the Lord. They'll be kept and protected. Many of them will. But also, he will be very strict about how he rules things, and people will be under great bondage. It will be a horrible time. So the latter part of this chapter now is talking about that time, and then past that time, at the last, when the Antichrist, and you stay with me a few weeks, we're going to get there. It'll be here on in a future lesson, that Antichrist will call up a great, great big army, and they'll be fighting, and they'll be horrible, and the Lord is going to come, and he's going to shoot up and try to kill the Lord. Shoot up with his missiles or whatever he has, you know, to try to kill the Lord. That's what the Bible says. And so that's the part of the time that we're talking about here, is when Christ comes back again at the end of the tribulation. He will come again before the tribulation to take away some. He will come again at another time in chapter 7 of Revelation, take away some. He will, in chapter 14, take away some. Tell the believers of this age that we live in, we call this the church age, the believers of this age will all be in heaven at this time. But notice here now in verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven and saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So this is toward the end of the tribulation. The old Antichrist is going to be raging. But the angels of heaven are rejoicing, and all of the people that are in heaven are rejoicing. Our Lord Jesus is the ruler. His kingdom has come. Praise the Lord. The kingdom of this world has become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Back in Isaiah 9, you don't have to turn there because it's a long ways back, but 6 to 7 is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ when he would come. It's prophetic, hundreds of years before Christ was born. Okay, looking forward to Christ. It tells us there that he will be called King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that's what he's going to do. He's going to be ruler of all things. His Father God, in perfect unity with him, he will have his kingdom. And this kingdom will last for the rest of the tribulation and then 1,000 years. The Bible teaches us that there will be 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. And so praise the Lord, this is going to take place. Our part in this whole thing, what do you think our part is? Is to believe what we see. Believe what we read. See, God's word is true. And we need to each one believe what we read. This is going to happen. The kingdoms of this world are going to become the kingdoms of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will reign forever and ever. Because he is Christ. It's what God has promised. Now in verse 16, and the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats, it says, the original translation is thrones. They are sitting on thrones. They fell upon their faces and worshiped God. Now we've had them in our lesson before. Chapter 4 tells us about these individuals of 24 elders and the living creatures that are there that sit on thrones around the Lord. And the scripture teaches us that if we yield our lives completely to the Lord Jesus Christ, one of these days we will rule with him. We will be there in heaven with him. And so these individuals are human beings which have gone to be with the Lord when he came after them before the tribulation started. And they are now sitting on before God on these thrones. And they fall on their faces and worship God. When this statement comes forth that the kingdom of this world have become the kingdoms of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine how excited that would make you to feel that right now, if it was declared right now, wouldn't it be exciting? We would fall down and worship the Lord, wouldn't we? We would praise him. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. And verse 17, saying that we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come. Now those are English words. Which art means that right now he's real. He's very real to us. He is alive and he was, he wast. We don't say I wast at the store today. We say, I was at the store today. Okay, so in the past, Jesus was always, he's eternal. He was always the Son of God way back. And he is to come. So we give thanks and worship to the Lord God Almighty, who is in right now, he was, and he is to come. Because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. There's going to be a time when it's all going to be over. Isn't that beautiful to think of? Jesus will be reigning on his throne. It's going to be a different world, totally different world in this 1,000-year reign of Christ. It'll just be like the Garden of Eden on earth. Animals will just be tame and people will be walking. There'll be those left that are believers. And that will see the Lord coming. Some of the Jewish people will see the Lord Jesus coming in the heavens and the clouds at the end of the tribulation, there toward the end. And that whole bunch of people will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They will be his Israelite people on the earth. And there will be 1,000 years that they will be enjoying this wonderful time with the Lord Jesus as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. I would like for you to hold your place here and turn to the Old Testament. It's sort of toward the back, the latter part of the Old Testament. And Daniel, in the book of Daniel, Daniel was a prophet. He was taken, he and other young people were taken from Israel over into Babylon. And the Lord showed him many, many visions. And we're going to read verse 13 of chapter 7. This is what he saw in a night vision. He says, I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. There are many other scriptures in the Old Testament where the word spoke about that Jesus Christ would come. If you remember, when Jesus was here on the earth, he called himself the Son of Man. I don't know if the rabbis and the Jewish people understood what he was saying. If they didn't know the scripture, they probably didn't. But he was going back to that Old Testament where he is called the Son of Man. He was born a human being, though his father was God. Back to our chapter in Revelation, I just wanted to read that to you, that Old Testament prophecies and things mention this, that there's going to be a rulership of the Lord Jesus Christ later on in time, and we haven't got there yet. Notice in verse 17, this the overcomers there in the church, the 24 and 20 elders and all of them, they're worshiping and falling down upon their faces. That's how sincere they are. And then verse 17, we give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come. That's our God. He's an eternal God. He has always been, from way, way back to the present to the future. Because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. Verse 18, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. So the nations are angry. And we see that again in Revelation 16, verses 13 through 16. It says there that they will travel to this place called Armageddon, which I mentioned earlier, and there will be a great battle, great destructive battle. Praise the Lord. All in a large open area. It's also called Megiddo. It's over there. You can look on a map of Israel and you can find this. It's north of Jerusalem. It's an open plain. My brother Ralph, who was also a minister, many of you know that, he went to Israel and he stood in the midst of that big place and thought and worshiped the Lord and praised God that the battle was going to happen one of these days there, where the people of the earth will fight against the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Lord will judge them and show that he is truly the God, the worship, the one to worship. Of course, we worship Father God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice in this verse 18 what it says, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants. Let's just talk about the time of the dead. There are many people that have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's, in the Bible, they're called dead yet. They have not received the life of Christ coming into their very being a part of them. Accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior gives us a new life. But people who have not, they're unbelievers, they don't know Christ, And in the time that we're talking about, when Antichrist will be in the rule, many, many unbelievers will be his followers. And they have to take what Mark, according to the scripture, chapter 13 and other scriptures in Revelation, either in their forehead or their hand. They'll have to have the mark of the beast upon them, or they can easily be killed. They have to be following this man that's going to be coming, called the beast or the Antichrist. And so that's what that's referring to right there, where it says the time of the dead, the wrath has come, and the time of the dead, and that they should be judged. We find later on, I think it's in the latter part of chapter 19, where it talks about the unbelieving people standing before the Lord and being judged. And they're the ones who never received Christ as their Savior, because no believer will be in that group. We'll already all be in heaven. But in that group, those people will be there, and they will be punished for eternity for not receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. And then notice that other phrase there, that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name. And we all understand what prophets are. Prophets are probably today ministers of God that bring forth the word of God, that have a gift. The prophecy has to be according to the written word of God. It can't be some fantastic idea that a lot of people in our day, we've had people that drew great numbers of people, and they claimed they were prophets of God. So there, that speaks of people of God, the servants of God, and the people of God, and to the saints. Now, the world thinks that saints are people who they say are saints, like some religions that take an individual from the past, or it might be someone of the more recent past, and they'll make a ruling as to whether they are a saint. And this is not what this is speaking of when it says the word saint. The word saint does not mean a person that somebody has made a saint. It means here, I wrote down this. Many religions think that this word means some who have died, who now we are to worship. We're to worship them because they're called saints. But the Word of God teaches us that the word saint, actually in the Greek, see, the Bible, the New Testament was written in Greek, Old Testament written in Hebrew, okay? So this is what it means when it says saints. It speaks of a sacred thing, and it speaks of people who are consecrated. They are holy ones who are saved, who are redeemed, persons who honor God. And so if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a saint as far as God is concerned. He honors you and believes and counts you as his children, one of his children. And we are the ones that we hope all of us are yielding our lives to God, consecrating our lives to God, and following the Lord. So back to our lesson there in verse 18. In the latter part of verse 18, it says, and them that fear, and to the saints. I wanted to go over that too. The word fear there doesn't mean, now God is going to have all these people that follow him that are scared to death. That's not what that means at all. The word fear here in the original means reverence. Those who reverence God. We understand who God is. He is a great and mighty God that can do anything. And once in a while, he really shows that, doesn't he? In great, great, great things that happened, catastrophes and different things. He doesn't seem to guard us from a lot of those things sometimes. And so going on, them that fear thy name, small and great, they should destroy them which destroy the earth. So they're going to come back with the Lord, and there will be a mighty judgment take place here upon the earth. And we're looking in the future time of the 7 years. Verse 19, the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. In the Old Testament, it's called the Ark of the Covenant. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. In chapter 16, verse 21, it tells us that the hail that fell was as large as a talent. And if you, T-A-L-E-N-T, you look that up, it's 75 pounds. And so the hail that will fall at this time as judgment from God is going to be very destructive. But the temple of God is in heaven, is what it says. We thought the temple of God would be on earth, didn't we? And it is, will be in the latter times. There will be a temple that would be built by the Israelites that over there in Israel. They have much of their stuff already for it. They're ready to do that. But during this tribulation time, that's going to be destroyed by the earthquakes and a lot of other things. And it says there was seen. Now, this is in heaven. The Ark of the Testament. That word means the Ark of the Covenant. I could ask a show of hands of anybody that knows what the Ark of the Covenant is. Some of you that have studied some of the word, you know what it is. In the Old Testament times when Israel came out of Egypt, we find that in the book of Exodus, God told them to build a tabernacle. It was like a tent, but it had gold inside of it. It had a holy place, and there was much furniture that God had them to build and to make it out of gold, because it represented things of God. And inside of that main place where the big curtain, the big thing was hanging down where they couldn't go through there. Only once a year, the high priest could go in there and put blood upon that altar that was there. The Ark of the Covenant, it was called. It was a big gold box, and it had a gold lid with angels looking down at it like this. And they would sprinkle the blood of a goat on that altar once a year, and that would push the sins of Israel forth another year. That was how they asked God to forgive them for their sins. We don't do that today. We don't have to have an altar that we sprinkle animals' blood on up here and ask God to then forgive us. Because why? Because Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his own blood that we might be saved. That's what Jesus already has done. So the way that we receive salvation is by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask him to come into our life and change us, and he will. He's so faithful. He's just wonderful how he does. But here in this verse where it says that they looked into the temple of God open in heaven, and there was this Ark of the Covenant. When those different furnitures were made in the Old Testament, God said to Moses, "See that thou make them after the pattern that I have shown you." So Moses was up on Mount Sinai when God was revealing to him about this. And he was looking into heaven and he was seeing this Ark of the Covenant. I don't understand why God has it there. I mean, that's between him and whoever. He's God. He can do anything. If he wants to have it there, that's fine. But it does represent the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Ark of our safety. Our safety by believing in that blood that was put on that ark. That blood from Jesus Christ on Calvary was shed for our sins, and it gives us eternal salvation. Praise the Lord. We're almost through here. And when John looked and saw the temple of God open in heaven with this Ark of the Covenant there, which was a very sacred, sacred Ark of the Covenant, was a very sacred thing to Israel. It's disappeared. They don't know where it is right now. Few people might know. There's a man that thinks he discovered where it is, but who knows? Then when John looked there was lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. So just to look into that beautiful thing, just to see that golden thing there that God had there, was just a tremendous thing for John, wasn't it? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So today, if we don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, you can receive Jesus very easily. You can just ask Him to save you. Ask Him to come into your life, and He will. That's as simple as that. The Bible says it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy He hath saved us. And so if you're here today and you need the Lord Jesus in your life, if you want to, you can come up here and we'll pray with you about that. Or if you want to talk to me later afterward, that's fine also. But just know that Jesus loves you and His word is true and it is going to be fulfilled. This word of God is going to be fulfilled one of these days. He's going to come again and all things will be changed. Praise the Lord.